Okay, let's get ready for our morning worship together here. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the God Himself and Your Son. Heavenly Father, it's because of these that we have a reason for living. We pray that this morning we'll be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with the hymn.
Hymn in our books is 223. 223. Oh God, our help in ages past. Oh God, our help in ages past.
Scripture readings will be from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with the righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth in the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. And also the righteous will be the belt about his loins. And every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified, pains and anguish will take a hold of them, and they will writhe like a woman in labor. And they will look on another. Excuse me, I think I went one too many pages.
It's okay.
And the faintness of the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together. And the lion will lie down, lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the holy cobra, and weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. Then in that day the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious.
All right, and continuing with song, would you turn to 354 in our hymn book, 354, Near to the Heart of God.
Okay, first, let's just begin. Terry, tell us how Bobby's doing.
Well, this morning, last night, they were scanning him because there was no brain activity or anything. But this morning, what? Jerry Lynn walked in and he's responsive and he's turning his head toward her.
Wonderful.
She said, move your right foot. He moved his right foot. She said, move your left foot. He moved his left foot. She turned on some music, and he turned his head toward the music. It was actually Alan Jackson. He really likes Alan Jackson. And she put the phone to his ear. I talked to him, and she said he was raising his eyebrows. So they're reducing the sedation meds today. But they have to keep the vent in him because he'll be going back for more surgeries. They've got to put another drain tube in probably. And then, remember, in 5 to 6 days, they're going to, they put a catheter in his spine to drain all those fluids because there is a small leak in there, a spinal fluid leak. And they said because of the bleeding during the surgery, they could have missed fragments or there could be a little leak in the incisions. Mm-hmm. So 5 to 6 days for the wounds to heal in there, get all the drainage out, and that will help them figure out what is causing that. He may have to go in for another surgery. Let's just pray that whatever it is, it heals and stops the leaking, and he doesn't have to go through surgery. I've seen God answer a lot of prayers in him because I'm updating. So for those that are interested, I started a Praying for Bobby Facebook page because it's 3 times a day I'm updating it sometimes. So this morning, I almost didn't come to church because I thought I might need to go see him. And then it was like, she gave me that update, and I'm like, okay, so I'm just ready, and here I am. And Anel, you probably didn't even know, did you?
Yes,
I didn't know, I heard you say that. So for those that don't get on Facebook or whatever, their house was hit by an F2 tornado on Monday night, and Bobby was pinned under a tree. So we had a group go over there to move stuff out of the belongings, because the living room was really only what got destroyed, and that's where they were, him and his wife. She got roofing debris pinned her, but she was able. They were able to get her out quickly. But Bobby, on the other hand, was pushed through the floor even from the force of the tree, and it shattered. So his L2 was broken in half. The vertebrae above it was shattered. Then the other vertebrae were all compressed. It also severed his right nerve, his nerve in his, not completely, but almost completely severed his nerve in his right leg. But he thinks he fully repaired the nerve. So, you know, we still need to pray that he is able to walk with the movement that we're seeing. He was very alert before he went into surgery. He was alert when the landlord first on the scene, and he had to bust in the door, and he said, Bobby, is your face exposed? And he said, yes. And he said, can you cover it? And he said, I see some insulation. He said, put it over your face because I'm kicking in the door. You know, they're yelling through the door. And so when he got in there, he stayed with him. He kind of tried to get some of the tree away. And then he got the tree away. By the time the paramedics got there, they were able to they're like, don't move him. And they rolled him on a blanket, and that's how they got him out. So that was all unclear until I talked to the landlord yesterday. And then he had to stay on the porch flat on his back for 35 minutes waiting for an ambulance to work away because it was so.
He was in surgery for 13 hours. How many doctors?
I don't know the team of doctors, but it was quite a team. There was a trauma surgeon, and then there was the neurologist surgeon that's overseeing his spine. And I don't know how many others, but 13 hours you would think it would take a pretty
long time.
And the bleeding was just a mess, they said. Everybody is commenting how badly, every time they get a fragment out, you know, more bleeding would occur. So, as you know, he's received a lot of blood, and that's why they were worried about his brain yesterday, because so much blood lost during surgery, they said.
Okay. Now, before you leave, are we allowed to go to the hospital?
He can have visitors. He's in the ICU.
Okay.
We're trying. It could be different tomorrow. You know, he might be fully awake, but still have that vent in. So we're trying to overexcite him because, you know, he's an excitable guy and he wants to tell his story. He really does. He can't talk, so they had his hands tied down so he wouldn't reach up there and pull that ventilator out. So we'll see. But yes, you sure can.
Okay.
Just get with me and his wife may go back to work if he's doing okay. We'll need people to sit with him on a schedule. We'll probably try to schedule it so there's not too many visitors, but yes.
Okay.
He is recognizing people right now, so that's what's good. And he's at Texoma Medical Center.
Well, keep us posted.
Yeah, and Shirley still needs prayers because I know she's saying she's okay, but boy, she's been through a lot. You know, her body's beat up and sore. She's really sore. And that was a hard move yesterday. We had a great crew, but it was still a hard move to walk in that house. And I just cried when I saw the house because I was like, he's alive by the grace of God. We know that.
Yeah.
He knows that too. So I said, I told him before he went into surgery, God spared you for this, so you need to just.
Well, we'll continue being in fervent prayer.
Okay,
absolutely. All right, is there any other prayer request of anything? Yes.
My sister goes into open heart surgery on the 4th of April.
14th of April.
4th
of April. And you leave?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Are you going there to be with her?
Yes.
Yes.
Where is she, kid?
Boston. Or that's where the surgery will be. She lives in Massachusetts now.
So we'll be in prayer for you and your wife as well as your sister.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Molly, right? Molly. Her name.
Yeah. Okay. Anything? Yes.
If you recall, my friend from Wisconsin and her husband who came to visit.
Yes.
Tammy herself is going to have aortic stenosis, heart surgery, open heart surgery, on April 4th. I don't remember the
day. Yeah.
Pray for Tammy and
Molly. Pray for Tammy,
surgery.
Well.
Now, just a little bit about Tammy. Tammy is a veteran, I think it's the Army. And she has this condition pretty much her whole life, but never stopped her from serving. And she's also in a journey of understanding the differences between denominations. She's very confused, you know, Catholic and Lutheran. Her husband is Lutheran.
So we're going to be in fervent prayer of the 4th.
Yes.
All right. Very good. And even before. Okay, yes.
We have slam camp next week for the high schoolers.
Yes.
This weekend starts on Friday. Phil's going to be doing the primary load of teaching.
Okay.
So the gospel on Friday night, be in prayer with regards to the kids that are coming.
Good.
Staff that is coming, that it is a it's glorifying, and that it's the kids' hearts are open to the truth. Those that don't know the gospel, that it's clear, and that they come to know Christ. And so Friday night, you know, we'll just pray over these kids. And Saturday we're going to be teaching. It's Follow Me is the topic. Is
okay.
The topic for this weekend. So yeah, it'll just be a prayer for not only their safety, which is always important. We always say that's number two.
Yeah.
Right. It's the second most important thing we do up there is make sure they're safe.
Yeah. Now, what is Sunday going to be?
It's the whole weekend is about Follow Me. So
follow
we're
me.
Talking about Christ's call to follow Him. What's mm-hmm. it mean to follow Christ? And then how do we do that in our lives? That'll be Sunday. I don't know exactly what you're teaching Sunday mornings. If you want to deviate from my... but that's,
and communion.
And communion Sunday morning.
Okay, very good. Okay, any other thing? Okay, yes.
Continuing prayer for Phil and Chris. For Phil and Chris, I mean, both of them I know are still dealing with stuff. Chris is feeling a lot better. He does have a colonoscopy and endoscopy coming up April 13th. And Phil, when's your...
14th.
On the 14th.
Yeah.
You've got your...
We'll be tagging out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want us to keep lifting these 2 men up in prayer for their health.
Absolutely. So it's the 14th is your surgery?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you go in, is it this week?
13th.
Okay.
What specifically on the prayer for the teaching there is we're trying to, we're kind of flipping the classroom model instead of just me lecturing. We're basing it on questions. And we really need the leading of the Spirit to anticipate the verses we're going to need to answer the questions.
Oh, asked to them. You're brave.
Well, I've got a tremendous backup team. So I know that if I can't come up with a verse, they will.
All right, very good. That'll be good.
Ryan's going to be there.
Yeah.
She's
she got you.
All right, that'll be good. Then let's please be in prayer. For my wife, she's just, doctors are trying to find it out, and she's had some major tests and stuff, but they don't know what's going on, so please be in prayer. Okay, we've got the young people, we've got the internet, we've got here, so we got a lot of reasons for to be in prayer about the offertory. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, so many things we come before the throne of grace. We come, Heavenly Father, in regard to people, Bobby, and to others that names that were given this morning. We've got the internet. We have here this coming weekend. Young people, and then we have our assembly. So, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you continue using these offerings for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay, once again, would you all turn to 325, 325 in the hymnal, which is Footsteps of Jesus. Good.
Okay, I hope everyone has a copy of the Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Part 2. Now, what's happened this morning is all my fault, and I take it. But on the internet, they've got another presentation made, but it's not the one that we're going to have here. And so this one is really different than what is on there. Baptism was very important for a short period of time for John in the age of Israel. And then it went into the church age for the introduction and all of the first of the church age. The water baptism is not mentioned at all in the epistles to the church, and is used in Acts sparingly, and so we wonder where it really stands. I personally love my baptism. I'll never forget it. I carry it in my soul right now. And we need to have an understanding of it. It's kind of like the tithing. People have an idea about the tithing that is stopped with Israel and is not mentioned in the church. Does that mean we do not give? No, not at all. Does that mean we do not give a tenth? No, we give more than a tenth, this type of thing. So let's see where we're going to go in our study today. I've never studied this way, but we're going to look at it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word. How grateful we are for the things you've given to us to do in our life. Prayer, studying the word, worshiping with one another, encouraging one another. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see, to understand in our passage. To this end, we do pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, now point one, baptism of the Holy Spirit did not occur in the Old Testament nor in any previous dispensation. And we spent some time on that last week. Point two, also we spent some time on, but we saw the five salvation ministries of the Holy Spirit. And in Roman numeral three, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at first mentioned by the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now today begins our next new study. Four, the mechanics of the baptism of the Spirit are mentioned in Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 13:13. Baptism itself means identification. That's what the baptism is about. So let's look at some things now. A, there are four real baptisms, or identifications in the Bible. Now, what we mean by real, you've got the idea of a ritual, water baptism that most people are familiar with. Real baptism is something that happens, and that's why we're going to look at them in our soul. First of all, there is the real baptism, the baptism of Moses, 1 Corinthians 10:2. First baptism is of Moses. The second, baptism of the cross upon Christ Jesus Christ was identified with the sins of the world, Matthew 20:22. The second real baptism was that of Jesus Christ. The third real baptism is called the baptism of fire, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And then four, baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's our study. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, secondly, there are also three ritual baptisms. Three ritual baptisms. First, baptism of John. Baptism of John with water, identified with redemption and Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah. That was by John the Baptist, so it's for a short time that occurred. Two, baptism of Jesus. He was baptized once, identified with the plan of God. Identified with the plan of God. And then the third ritual baptism is the baptism of believers in the church age, where we are identified with Jesus. We're identified with Jesus. Now, in this one, let's learn a little bit. First, in the part of the church age, of the apostolic age, before the completed canon of Scripture, is when this one was emphasized. Secondly, the Greek verb baptize outside of the Gospels occurs some 20 times. The Greek verb was used referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1 of Acts. Now, let's take a look at go through the book of Acts. Acts 2, the verb baptize was used twice, referring to Jews being baptized under the baptism of repentance as by John. 2, Acts 8. So we jump from Acts 2 to first to Acts 8. Acts 8, the verb was used referring to Samaria as moving the beginning of the church age. In Acts 8, the Ethiopian believed in Jesus and was baptized. And in Acts 9, the strong Jewish leader, Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, was baptized to lead the Jews to the fullness of baptism. 3. Gentiles now get into the picture. Gentiles were baptized in chapter 10. So from chapter 2 to chapter 10. 4. The discussion of baptism by the Holy Spirit is spoken of in chapter 11. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 5. The opening of the church age in Europe began as it did in Jerusalem with underwater baptism in chapter 16. Also in chapter 16, some Gentiles were baptized. Now, 6. Chapter 18. Go from now 16 to 18. There were in Corinth some Gentiles were baptized the first time Paul came to Corinth. However, after that, there is no mention of baptism. In fact, in Corinth, Paul speaks of baptism in a rather derogatory manner. 7. Now we go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, 7. Baptism is spoken of in reference to the baptism of John, and then some were baptized in water in Ephesus. 8. The last time baptism is mentioned in Acts are in entire writings of the New Testament, just as the last time was now. No more was listed in New Testament writings, was in Acts 22, where Paul was speaking to the Jews in Jerusalem about baptism. Now, point 9. The Greek noun baptism was used some 10 times outside of the four Gospels. Used it 4 times outside of the four Gospels, Acts 1:22, Romans 6:4, Ephesians 4:5, Colossians 2:12, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 10:35, Acts 13:24, Acts 18:25, Acts 19:5. It is never used of water baptism of the church age. These, of course, means that the noun is used but one time in the book of Acts. Point 10. If you've got any questions, when I get through just section, you can get questions. The reference to baptism is not mentioned in chapter 3, the healing of the beggar, and Peter's second great sermon, with no mentioning of baptism. It is not mentioned in chapter 4, with the great teaching of the apostles, with no mention to baptism. It was not mentioned in chapter 5, where it was not mentioned in the long message to the Jews. That one to the Jews. It was not mentioned in chapter 6, under the discussion of choosing of workers of the church. And the baptism was not mentioned at all, that they needed to be baptized. In the great chapter 7 of Stephen, baptism is not mentioned at all. It is not mentioned in chapter 12. Baptism is not mentioned in the first missionary journey. The entire first missionary journey in chapter 13, no mentioning of baptism, except in the discussion of John the Baptist, which is being told what happened with John, which really emphasizes the absence of water baptism of the church. Now, what is interesting is chapter 14 in the discussion of Paul's problems in Iconia in the argument with Jews' baptism was not mentioned. The all important Council of Jerusalem, where that was very important, in chapter 15 was not mentioned baptism at all. Neither of John or baptism in the church. Baptism is not mentioned in Thessalonica in chapter 17, nor is it mentioned in Berea, and not in great teaching of Athens on Mars Hill. Nothing about baptism. Baptism is not mentioned in chapter 20 under Paul's teaching at Macedonia and Greece. Baptism is not mentioned in Paul's trip in chapter 21 from Miletus, where Paul taught in Tyre, and no mention of baptism there, nor in Thelemus, nor in Caesarea. Then Paul goes down to Jerusalem and never mentioned baptism there. In chapter 23, at the Council of Jerusalem, there is no mention of baptism. This means in some 12 chapters, baptism, water baptism, is not mentioned at all. Point 11. But what we learn. No commandment. Commandments given one time is all that's necessary. That's all that's necessary for something to be as absolute. The problem is, never are one person told one person with a command to be baptized. 12. So I just taking care of 11. Those words, well, if it's mentioned one time in the Bible, that's enough. I understand. But the command is not mentioned at all. 12, no water baptism of the church was not usually mentioned. Water baptism for the church was not usually mentioned. The water baptism was replaced by the study of the Word of God by Paul and by Peter. Baptism has been replaced by the teaching of the Word of God. Paul moved to the teaching of the Word of God. Multitude of people are more into baptism than are daily sitting down throughout their life listening and learning the Word of God. Believers are to deal more with spiritual baptism, not with water baptism. So, all believers at the moment of salvation are entered into union with Christ. But so many believers use other things to be in union with Christ, like water baptism, union in some denomination, for all instead of just coming in together and studying the Word of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, 23. Let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning some, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of many, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day of the end of the church age. Okay. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ are designed to reunity with another in the Word of God. So all of us at the moment of salvation were entered into union with Christ. And whether slave or free, we are all in union with Christ. Whether in a believer is baptized, is successful in life, spiritual successful, or unsuccessful in human standards, regardless of race, color, creed, all religions are entered into union with Christ. And this is the only basis of unity in the union of the church. As Paul opened Christianity throughout the world, he never mentioned once about water baptism. But over and over, he encouraged Christians to come together for the communion and to study the Word of God and to worship together. This unity is expressed by a command to love one another. There is this command. This means other members of the family of God encouraging each other in the Christian life. Okay. Well, let me finish this part and then we go to question. The mechanics of baptism. God the Holy Spirit takes every believer at union of salvation and enters them into union with Christ. This and the growth in the Word of God was far more important than other activities between believers. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. A few other passages that teach the importance of the Bible doctrine for your life is given in a number of passages. Now, any question about what we've covered with Acts?
So, the beginning they were talking about in the first couple, chapter 8, I guess they were talking about, or maybe chapter 2, they were referring back to John's baptism of repentance. And that was for the age of Israel, that was for the Jews.
Yes.
In 8 and following.
Are you saying
that they're referring to the ritual of water baptism, or they're referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Ritual of water baptism.
So they're referring to the ritual of water baptism. How then do we, other than the fact, because I mean, I know there's no chapters. I mean, there were no chapters when these things were written. So for identification, we know where those things are. But is it the presumption that because it wasn't in the council, it wasn't in the major teaching of Peter and Paul in Acts, and it doesn't show up in the epistles, that we're saying it's not important?
Okay. There's when you use that expression, not important. I was baptized. I would always baptize anyone. I've baptized my own nephews. But it's like Dr. Pentecost told us in school, you don't take any dogma out of Acts. Doctrines, all this, it's not in the book of Acts. It's not a book for information like that. It's just Acts, things that happen. Yeah, it's history. And in fact, Dr. Pentecost said, you know, if you want to just, rather than have water, just have them change your suit, change your, you know, their coat or something. But there's nothing that gives us any reason why it should be done.
What Jesus saying in the Great Commission, go baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
He's talking to disciples, and God's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking to believers, and he's telling them to go baptize. So I do struggle with that.
Yes. The verbs change with that, and under baptism, it's a different verb than the first parts of it, which causes people that study this say it's not part of the new commandment.
Not the Great Commission.
The Great Commission.
Yeah. It says, go therefore make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We're saying that baptize, that's not the verb that's actually in
there. It's not in there. It's a different type of verb, which means it changed at that point.
So in the commission, the verb is actually meaning the spiritual baptism?
No, it's talking about baptism, but I wish I had taken. Let me work on that and come back next week and give you the clarity on that, okay?
Okay.
I think a lot of the confusion about baptism comes from the decision to transliterate rather than translate that.
Yes.
And if you take that Greek word baptizo, its most basic, fullest meaning is to immerse, to dunk.
Yeah.
Completely submerge.
Yes.
And the reason they chose to, at King James time, to transliterate it rather than translate it was because they did sprinkling. And
yeah.
It's a big controversy on should you sprinkle them or dunk them.
Yeah.
So they avoided that controversy by transliterating it rather than translating it.
Yeah.
But that word submerged, right? It's or immersed, right? Just like we would use the English word. Man, he's immersed in that book. He's completely absorbed, dedicated, right? And that's the same idea that you get with this verb in Greek, is that you're all in one with that thing, right?
Yes.
And it isn't about a ritual of any kind. It's about that commitment and immersion in what God has given us through the gift of Christ.
Yes.
You know? And if they would have chosen to translate it, so much evil in the world would have
been. Can I bring up something else?
Yes, please. Absolutely.
So Acts 10, I know what you're saying, Herman, in Acts, we shouldn't take any doctrinal things out of that, but this is chapter 10 with Peter in verse 46-47. He is talking about baptism. Can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So they've already received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And now he's saying, why should I not withhold? And we know the water baptism is not, there's no merit in it. It doesn't save you. It doesn't, but it's that profession. But here, just Peter is specifically referring to water.
Yeah.
Why would we not withhold?
That's why I went through every one of them. It was done at that period. But by the time Paul gets going on with it, there's no more baptism. That's what is being said here with understanding the book of Acts, is that it just died out. And then when you start the epistles, it's not there at all. Which is rather interesting. Not once.
Herman? Wasn't there a verse, I don't remember the verse, that talks about Jesus told the disciple, I'm not sure which one even, that John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
So I think that's a fine line that said stop doing the water thing, wouldn't it?
That's what it's come from, right? That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Wasn't it Peter who actually said that himself, wasn't it?
Well, in Acts 1.
In
Acts 1 it says it. Which sets things ready for the church age. Okay. Let's go to Roman numeral 5. Roman numeral 5, definition of baptism. The Greek word is baptize and means to dip, D-I-P, to immerse, to emerge, for a number of reasons. Point two, the Greek word for our study in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the word metaphorically, it gives four basic ideas. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One, identification. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are identified with Jesus Christ. Two, induction. By baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are inducted into the body of Jesus Christ. Three, initiation. By the baptism of Jesus Christ, we are initiated into the new age or the church age. Four, association. By baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are placed into association with Jesus Christ and all that He is. Okay. Point six. Characteristics of the water of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Characteristics of the water of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First, it is universal. Given to every person, any person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, from the day of Pentecost to the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slave or free, we were all made as to drink of one Spirit. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one Spirit, and just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the issue. Water baptism is never an issue again in the epistles. Secondly, no one is to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nor to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in Scripture are we instructed to ask for or seek or even desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a free gift from God to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. It is received by grace. Third, baptism of the Holy Spirit is non-experiential. It does not come by experiential growth, nor is it associated with experiential or physical experience. Fourth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, along with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the sealing of the Holy Spirit, along with 33 other things you receive at the point of salvation. Point 7. The unification of believers is achieved by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Unification of believers is achieved by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing we do. Understanding of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 is very important at this point. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. This has nothing to do with water baptism. It has only to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The more with identification. Let's look at them. One Lord, we all have the same Lord. And it is not by something we do, but He does it all. And if somebody believes in Jesus Christ and doesn't get to that, they're still under Him as their Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and He is Lord whether you recognize Him as Lord at all. This happens wherever one is throughout the world, regardless of race, freedom, or in communism, or secular humanism, Marxism, cosmic humanism, or postmodernism. If one believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are in one Lord by one. Now, one Lord, one faith. Now let's look at one faith. Under one baptism, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are not saved by inviting Jesus into our heart. We are not saved by raising our hands or walking an aisle or by feeling sorry for sins. We are not saved by anything we do. We are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the one baptism occurs the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. It is by entrance into union with Christ. It has nothing to do with water. A person has to do communism and makes a decision to believe in Jesus Christ and tells no one and does nothing but by faith They are changed for all eternity. And this is important to a lot of Muslims, and because they could be killed. They could be, or their father could just take them out, and that's it. So, just, I believe in Jesus Christ, and it's between Jesus Christ and me. And that's, I'm sorry, but that's, that gets you to eternity. And that's the important thing there. Okay, point eight. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is unique in the church age. This is one of the primary points on why the church age began on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2. Jesus Christ had to leave planet Earth and be glorified to God the Father. Only then can we be baptized in Christ. Point 9. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is distinct in the church age, not in the age of Israel. Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but you will become, be the future, you will be, when it happens, baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from you. That's what you were referring to with that right there, is that this one is the water by John, this one's the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. 10 days to the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2, future in Jesus Christ, departed from earth to the throne of God in the third heaven. Now let's go to Acts 11:15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. Specifically identifying the beginning of the church age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, and I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Point 10, current positional truth. You ever heard of current positional truth? A lot of people haven't. Most of us here have. Well, the basis of current positional truth is the basis of the Holy Spirit, based on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as well as retroactive positional truth. Ephesians 1:3-6, Colossians 2:12, Romans 6:3-5, and Colossians 2:10. We are not only identified with Christ at the right hand of the Father, but we are identified with Christ in his death. Now, point 11. We ought to finish it. Point 11. Pertinent passage on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1. All four of the Gospels prophesied the coming of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. 2. Acts 2:1-4 records the historical beginning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, therefore the beginning of the church age. 3. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, it is very important as to where Paul now speaks of baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Corinthian church was splitting into factions over the issue of spiritual gifts, overemphasis on certain spectacular gifts, like speaking in tongues, had led to the attitude that some believers had the more desirable gifts while others had lesser desirable gifts. In response to this splitting issue, Paul explains, "We are all one. Do not separate from one another because of spiritual gifts." And to prove his point, he explains, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit." Now, I don't think it's been a long time since I've done it, but I spent time on the body and just discuss various parts of the body. Well, you know, we think the heart is more important than the brain. It ain't going to work without the heart. And we go through, I just went through all of the various parts of the body. And I was rudely interrupted by, reprimanded by my wife, but if part of your body just simply will not work, your bathroom, then ain't nothing else going to work. You're in trouble. So all parts of the body are very important. And the same is true in relationship to Christ. 4. Galatians 3:27. "For all of you who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, who were baptized at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, a believer is baptized or put into the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is made up of believers all over the world. Into Christ. Next, we have the yet another description of water of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have clothed together in Christ. Clothed together in Christ. The cherished name Christian started out as a derogatory remark, meaning little Christ. The idea was you have no self-identity. You cannot think for yourself. You think like Jesus Christ. And I said, amen. How I wished I did that all the time. Think just like Jesus Christ. How I wish this were true. Now, point 5, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. 4, there is one body, while the church is so divided between denominations and movements, there is one universal body of the body of Christ and one Spirit, of referring to God the Holy Spirit. Just as only also you were called in one hope, confidence of your calling. One Jesus, one Lord, Jesus the Christ, one faith. That is faith in Jesus Christ. One baptism of the Holy Spirit. Point 6, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 12, preparation for the battle. Here we go. There are two things every believer must have to live for Christ in this new age, the church age. One, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Both of these supernatural blessings occurred on the first day of the church, Acts 1:8, gathering them together. Jesus gathering them together, the disciples together in Jerusalem. Now, not over all, not every believer, just those few that were gathered in Jerusalem. There were other believers all over through the area, the body of the nation of Israel, but only this occurred in Jerusalem. Before they went out and tried to fulfill the Great Commission or started spreading the gospel or speaking, they were not yet prepared to serve Him or the Father for what the Father has promised. Promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit for both baptism and the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which He said, you heard of or from Me, according to the Gospels. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then, and only then, will you be prepared to spread the gospel and start going to the church. This new age, called the church age, will be unique in history. No longer will there be a special race, Jews, not a special nation, not Israel, not even a special land. There is a worldwide opening on an intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And you will all need these special preparations for the conflict you're entering. People, you must understand and be aware of some of the difficulties between the age of Israel and the church age. The gospel is the same. Salvation is the same. However, the warfare is much different. Now in the church age, every believer is born again believer is a target in the church age. You are identified, your marriage, your family, your church, your spiritual life, all are under siege by Satan throughout the church age. And his army and fallen angels, they're all against you. And to prepare you for the battle, God has given each of us a number of spiritual weapons. One, He has clothed us in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two, He has equipped each one with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And three, He has given us the completed canon of Scripture. Sorry, Mormons. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, old and new, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, for righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Give thanks to God every day for baptism of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the completed canon of Scripture. It is these three that enable you to live in the church age, serving and glorifying Jesus Christ. Point 13, result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The result. One, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is put into union with Christ. Put into union with Christ. Two, by baptism of the Holy Spirit, every believer is put into the body of Jesus Christ. Put into union with Christ, put into the body of Christ. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit unites us with Christ and unites us with one another. Puts us into Christ and makes us one, puts us in units of one another. Therefore, we are to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. We are to serve one another in spiritual love. 2, 3, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every believer is made joint heirs of Christ. A, we share His eternal life. We share His righteousness. We share Christ's destiny under predestination. We share Christ's election. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father as a third royal title. We share in that same title presence. Now, Roman numeral 4, the last. Challenge of baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's the challenge. 1, this truth should give every believer confidence and identification in Christ, not in some denomination or church or some teacher, not even Paul. We are not baptized into Paul. 2, first of all then, this truth should be given of every believer confidence and identification with Christ. 2, as we have seen, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. 3, we have spent this time and gone through this study for you, for your knowledge and comfort. Please do not use this to divide or bring information and to divide people. I encourage you not to go down the assembly of group that has other views, like that the church age began with Paul. Don't get involved in that. That you can lose your salvation. Don't get involved in that. 3, baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs sometime after initial salvation. Some people teach that. This is the special blessing that gives believers some special power in the Word of God, like speaking in tongues. Comfort these words instead of dividing them. Comfort one another with these words. Let's close in over our prayer. Heavenly Father, we covered a lot of material tonight. Pray that your Spirit can make these things true, explainable, applicable in our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, we come back together again to worship you, to worship your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.